All right, and we're back here on Couch Coach Live. We're actually live tonight here, here under the lights on a Thursday night edition of Couch Coach Live under the lights here. What's going on, Maui?
What's up, man? How you doing?
Good, man. You know, just been a week.
You boys getting ready for that big game on Sunday, huh?
Oh yeah, man. It's a holiday. I mean, it is by far like the best holiday there is. So definitely got a great show lined up for you this week as we continue our fourth annual Couch Coach Live Super Week, powered by SeatGeek. We got a great show lined up. So we'll talk about the NBA trade deadline. We'll talk about Austin Rivers. And then also we'll talk about Austin Rivers tonight, his comments towards Bronny James. We'll talk about somewhat of a fantasy type situation for me that might be come to fruition in the fall. Then also we'll be previewing Super Bowl 58. We'll talk about our storylines to watch, guys who we root for, give our thoughts on how this game will play out, how will the San Francisco 49ers win this football game, and also the Kansas City Chiefs. And we'll give out our scoring prediction. So it's going to definitely be a great night here on Couch Coach Live. And we actually live this, for the first time this week. But definitely huge shout out to everybody who has came on this week. And we'll make mention of that throughout the podcast today. So what we're going to do, we're going to keep the intro, and we'll be right back on right here on Couch Coach Live. We'll be right back. That shout out to Big Kirko, but we back here on Couch Coach Live. As we mentioned, we continue in our fourth annual Couch Coach Live Super Week, powered by SeatGeek. Head over to SeatGeek.com. Use our promo code Couch Coach to get yourself $20 off your first purchase by using SeatGeek. SeatGeek.com. If you're going to Super Bowl, hey, I mean that's the price of maybe a water and maybe a popcorn, but hey. Use the promo code if you get tickets. I mean, I can give you $20 off. That's all I can get you, bro. So yeah, that might be a can of beer or whatever, whatever they concessions. I think I've seen somewhere where this lady paid like $9 for a Pepsi at like one of like I guess gift shop out at one of the places in Las Vegas. I seen it. And I was like, yeah, this is insane. This is insane. Yeah. You know,
wow.
But yeah, man. So we are here, back here on Couch Coach Live. So we'll get going first. We'll talk about, and it's funny. I always find with Super Week, we always know this is how everything goes on right around this time. We know about the game, and news in the past has been the trade deadline. So we'll talk about the NBA trade deadline. And of course, it's unlike last year where you had Kevin Durant being traded right around this time last year, and then also all the moves that the Lakers did all last year as well. So let's just talk about the NBA trade deadline. Just some trades you like, some you won't feel in, or just overall thoughts on what transpired today in the NBA.
Like I was saying, I'm going through everything. I'm like, man, what's really going on? Because it wasn't like. It's just a bunch of role players, just seemed like to me. It was never like no true like second or third option being traded to. I mean, you can say Buddy Hield in some type of way, but it was nothing major, And like I was telling you before we got on air, I'm trying to figure out. I got some questions to you. Like, it just seemed like the Nets. Like, what are they really doing? Like, it seemed like they went going right back to where they were, getting a whole bunch of draft picks. You know what I mean? Like what are you really shooting for? But if I have to say the ones, it's a bunch of them I didn't understand. I got I think the 76ers should have kept Pat Beverly. I felt like he was happy. The fans loved him. He seemed like he was at a place he wanted to be, the happiest he's been in a long time. But they traded him to the Bucks for Cameron Payne and a 2027 second round draft pick. I'm trying to understand that, coach.
Yeah. Now, from what I was told, and not me told, but what I heard from, I think either it was Woj or Wendy.
Right.
So basically, what they thinking that Philly gonna end up ultimately doing is probably bring back Kyle Lowry. I'm not bring back Kyle Lowry, but I'm assuming that, you know, Charlotte essentially, you know, he'd be reunited with Nick Nurse. So that's why I'm thinking where that lands.
Oh,
but
I
definitely do like that Pat Beverly went to Milwaukee, because I definitely think they need him. They need that type of voice in that locker room.
And I'm with you on that. I just feel like he ain't Jimmy Butler, but I feel like the 76ers have been stuck in the same spot for years now. And I feel like Pat Bev would have been able to push them over the, you know, over the hump. Just with that drive that he has. Are they going to be able to put him and Dame on the floor at the same time?
I'm assuming he probably be the backup.
There you go. And Dame don't play defense like Holiday, and that's really what the issue is. They don't really play. They got rid of all their defensive guy. Portis is really not a defensive guy. You know what I mean? But I got a few more. Let me see. I ain't going to do them all. Let me see. I like the PJ Washington to the Mavs and on the Hornets getting Grant Williams and Seth Curry and the 2027 first round draft pick. I like the Nets getting Thaddeus Young and Dennis Schroeder. And like I said again, what I didn't like was I don't understand. I don't say I don't like it, I don't understand. The Suns receiving Royce O'Neal and David Reddy. Hope I said his name right. Grizzlies get a future draft pick swap and Wannabe. Did I say his right name right? Wannabe.
Yeah, I think it's a Wannabe. I think
right. Yeah, that's my dude on the game. But and then the Nets get three future second round draft picks and salaries to be announced or something like that. So it's just to me, I was trying to understand like what's really going on, like. What are y'all really like? Is the league going through money issues or something? I just don't understand. Is there some draft picks that they know for a fact that is going to be coming in the next few years that's going to change the whole dynamic of the league?
Yeah, I'm not sure as far as like that is concerned. But before we get started on my take, that huge shout out to Ty at LA. It's almost like Daryl Morey is destroying the process. The process is over, dude. The process is over. Process is dead and gone.
Right.
But I'll address your comment as the night progresses, other than your shade comment, LA, about your old OC. We'll talk about that at some point during the night. I will definitely address that that unusual hire. But you know, it is what it is. We'll stick to basketball momentarily. Yeah, I think this trade deadline, I think it just served its purpose where I think a few teams got a lot better. I mean, you look at like what the Knicks did. I think you bringing in Bogdanovich, you bring in a 20 point per game scorer, a 40% shooter, and he gets free from Detroit. So I mean, anytime you get out of free jail card out of Detroit. Right. I mean, it's a relief. So I like that. Then also bringing in Alex Burks. I definitely think that, you know, that would definitely help, because I know a lot of people are always saying, like, you know, Jalen Brunson is carrying this team and Julius Randle, you know, the whole Becky Hammond comments. You know, you can't, a guy that small can't carry a team. You know, we've always kind of heard that. That rhetoric throughout this whole season at this point. So it just adds to that depth of that. And obviously, you see what, you know, what they've been doing, especially after the OG trade, bring him in. I think they're like 16-3 ever since that trade. So they've been playing some great basketball. So, you know, you just look at it from that standpoint. I do like the PJ Washington to Dallas. I definitely think that's a good move, especially for Dallas. Where you can get that guy. And I think the fun thing with Charlotte was it was a bunch of those kind of guys, you know, on that squad. So you bring in that type of situation. I do like the Buddy Hill to the Sixers, but the only thing and they talked about it on the NBA on the jump. Lord, I'm about to get myself in trouble now. What is the NBA today? I guess what it is. But anyway, they were saying like it's a great move, but until you bring in Joel Embiid back from his meniscus injury, then we want to see it. So you know that's concerned. Right. But I think it's just this year was definitely lackluster, like we talked about. It's not like how it was last year where we had that blockbuster trade essentially. Right. And we know it's very rare that we get a blockbuster deal like this on trade deadline. It's very rare, but we got it last year. So like you said, I think we became spoiled to that. So I think that's where it's like, yeah, we're gonna get another one because you know, but it is what it is. But yeah.
I like the Monte Morris to the Timberwolves. I like that one because I feel like if the Timberwolves is gonna stay there, you know, between 1 and 3, it would be good to have some playoff and some veteran presence. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And somebody that gives them a little bit of physicality also. But yeah, man, like, I don't know, like, you know, they've been talking about it, man. Like, there's not as many, you know, stars in the league as much as it used to be. And there's superstars and, you know, there's only a few megastars, but when you really pull back, like, you know, I think they got to do better, man, to really let fans know more and market these players a little bit better. They probably don't think that they have to because they're bringing in so much revenue, but I'm telling you, they've been really focusing a lot on this, the WNBA and them girls playing, that's in college right now, and how they beat out a bunch of NBA teams, which, you know, it's female college basketball, but I'm just saying, like, man, they got to figure out a way to market better some of these players. All these content people and people doing, you know, their own vlogs and all that, like, it just seemed like it needs to be just a little more interesting. I mean, it is interesting, but it just need to be like, I was like, okay, you know?
Yeah, and that's like one of the things where it's just like, it's always going to be hit or miss. It's the only, you know, the only thing about that where it's just, you know, and I think when it comes to superstars, stuff like that, I think it's just more so, and I know it was thinking about potentially having 15 guys making an all-star roster. So I think that's another thing where that could potentially help as far as getting, you know, being able to see these superstars. The thing a lot of it is like, you know, it just depends on like your watch, like if you watching, you know,
right.
It's like, you know, as far as, cause they're stars stars across the NBA landscape, but it's just, like you say, it's just one of those where, maybe the marketing per se or what have you, or I think it's more, I will honestly be real with you, not us, but like the mainstream media where they can kind of control those where, you know, we talked about like during the playing tournament, like how you look at Tyrese Halliburton, we were saying how, man, that's, you know, that's a great story. It was like a playoff atmosphere in the middle of December. So, you know, but you know, you don't get those stories because, you know, obviously if you look at, when that's, like I said, not talk about us or other content creators, but there are certain networks and certain types of NBA where they're pushing narratives of the older superstars and they're not really pushing the younger stars. Like, you know, and I know people still talk about, you know, we know like Anthony Edwards and, you know, you got good young talent in the league. You got guys in this league, but it's just sometimes you just ain't showcased properly. But let me get to some of these comments before we get to the next one here. So shout out to God Walker Mar, he came on and did our Kansas City Chiefs preview, which you can check on our pretty much Facebook, Twitter, Instagram page, YouTube page. Look that up, and I actually gonna quote kind of something that he said in the preview when we talk about Super Bowl 58. So shout out to our guy Juan Carmar. And also he had his thoughts on trade deadline. Also, you a Lakers fan, Mar? Oh boy.
Yeah, what
you say? My Lakers ain't did nothing at the deadline. Not much they could do anyways. Nobody is keen on helping the Lakers nowadays. You're right. You are completely
so,
right.
So I have a rebuttal for that. It's not long. My rebuttal for that is, like, I was like, Miami don't seem like it's good to me, right? But one thing Miami do, they only have probably like they got some. They can have there's a couple dudes on. I think it'd be big. Like Hero could be a bigger star. Jimmy Butler, if he want, he's a superstar. But if he want to be a, he could, but he don't want to. They got a couple guys that can ball, but they play defense. And I think if you get them in the playoffs, they're gonna be a problem. You know what I mean? Because it's not a lot of teams playing defense. And so I think they kind of like just going through the motion until they get into the playoff. And I think the Lakers doing the same thing because they can easily beat anybody and then at the same time lose to anybody. But once they turn their defense up, they already, you know what I'm saying? Then that's what I thought about. I said, because I've been watching them. They're on a three-game winning streak. If they win tonight, it really should tell people something because they're going up against the champions. But I really believe they're going to try to get Dinwiddie.
Yeah, in the buyout market, yeah, because he went to Toronto, right?
Yeah,
that's right, because he went to Toronto. Yeah, he definitely ain't.
And is Victor Oladipo did he got waived? Is he still hurt? Is he hurt or something? Or is he trying to be in a buyout?
I think he went to Houston, but I don't know that situation because remember he got traded.
Yeah, I heard he was waived.
Oh, he was waived. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's possible. Yeah. Yeah, because I knew he got traded to Houston or something like that. Because he was a part of that who was it that Steven Adams deal, wasn't he, or something like that? I forgot what part of the deal he was, but yeah. So yeah, that's it's just kind of one of the things where
is Steven Adams out for the year?
I don't know. But
if he's not and he comes back and they able to do a play, he's gonna be dangerous. That team gonna be dangerous.
Yeah. Turn the defense up is fine. We still need some offense. Rely on AD and Braun, who are far away from getting hurt.
Yeah, I mean they are, B. But I'm just saying, when you really sit back and look, man, it ain't really nobody really out there. Like you can easily say Murray, but they gonna end up falling into doing the same thing. Kyrie is a beast, but he's still somewhat of a liability because he get hurt a lot too. Like it's really, when you look around, it's nothing. Like they probably need to get, I like that point guard that played for Memphis that's with the Wizards. Like I wish they would have got him. He could have came off the bench games and scored. D'Lo's not bad. D'Lo's issue is he stays out of position. He tends to put them in situations like, D'Lo, sometimes he'll go down and shoot a three when they don't really need to shoot a three. You know what I'm saying? For him to be a point guard, he's got to be smarter than that.
Yeah.
That's his only issue. But he's trying.
Yeah. So, we got it's very interesting. Our next topic that we're going to discuss, I'm going to cue up the video momentarily. It should be coming up shortly. Let me get that squared away. And before we get going, fair use, and we'll get that video momentarily. All right, and we'll play it right now for you. And this is Austin Rivers. He's a contributor to NBA Today. But so obviously he's there now. And he was discussing Bronny James. So we'll play that right now for you guys. And
many believe Bronny James will declare. I mean, I hope it doesn't happen. I don't want to see Bronny play with his dad. I really don't.
Why?
If he is to go in the draft or if he gets picked, it'd be great to get picked up by a contending team that could help him, put him in a situation because he does have talent. He does have basketball IQ. He has potential. Him going and play with his dad at this point in his career, just because Bronny's success isn't at a top tier level.
Right.
Him getting drafted and playing with his dad, I don't want that negativity to come his way because he doesn't deserve it. LeBron James is the most popular basketball player to ever play, other than who? Maybe Michael Jordan?
Right.
This is, it just would be a lot, man.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I just, I hope for the kid that he's able to not only play in the NBA, but play somewhere where he can kind of niche out his own identity. His name's already Bronny. You know what I mean? Everything that we talk about with him, it always kind of folds back to his dad, rightfully so. He plays for USC, and his dad plays down the street for the Lakers. It's just an insane situation, and the way he's handled it, I'm a fan of Bronny. I really am, but I hope it goes somewhere else. I really do. I mean, I hope it doesn't happen.
All right. So we got that here. So we'll get that. Let me get us back into frame. All right. So what was your thoughts on the video that we just seen about Austin Rivers pretty much doesn't want Bronny to play alongside his father, LeBron James?
Right. I think he's speaking from experience, from the time I guess he played with the Clippers. But man, you're not, you know, he always seemed like to me he had some issues with that because they probably treated him a certain, I don't know. Maybe they treated him some type of way in the league, and maybe he's just speaking from experience. But it seemed like to me, and LeBron has spoken. Bronny already kind of like made his way of how he wanted to do things. You know what I mean? If he didn't want to most likely go to college, he probably didn't have to. If he didn't want to play ball, he didn't have to. Bronny kind of made that decision. That's what he said. You know what I'm saying? On the shop, that's what he said. He said, Bronny's already making is doing his own thing. So, and then they got a different bond, seemed like, too. You know what I mean? So, I've been saying for you, I'm ready for LeBron kind of retire. So I don't have a problem with it. You know, it would be, I guess it would be kind of cool. You know what I'm saying? But man, Bronny's his own man.
And shout out to a guy called Carmar. See, I actually agree with Rivers. If I was Bronny, I would want to make my own identity. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you too, Mar. I think my situation, and I think this was just more so to show you some of the context of it. But he also mentioned, like, as far as, and I agree with Austin Rivers. And I think just a simple fact of how he was treated when he was with the Clippers with Doc, right. Because a lot of people looked at him was like, well, the only reason why you're on this team is because your father.
Right.
And you look at it because I think it's a great point now because you're seeing people actually having him as being drafted in the 2024 NBA draft, which is crazy to think somebody who is averaging nearly 6 points a game mm-hmm. is slated to be in this year's NBA draft. And it's kind of mm-hmm. one of those where, If he comes out this year, which I hope he does not,
mm-hmm.
he's gonna be same thing. Just if he goes to, you know, that we're saying just a hypothetical example, mm-hmm. if he goes to get drafted by the Lakers, that's everybody's sentiment is gonna be like he's only there because LeBron is there, mm-hmm. and that's gonna be the issue because what's gonna happen when LeBron James retires from the league? Like if he's Bronny could be potentially a 22, 23-year-old kid that's out the league because of the fact that, you know, Bronny's not there. And like we've talked about this before all this. We talked about this when he was at Sierra Canyon. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, it would be a sad show where if an owner becomes, you know, they want this because of the money and what have you, but it's not going to be in the best interest of Bronny. It would be probably the best interest for the team, LeBron James, because they – essentially don't have nothing to lose, but mm-hmm. Bronny does, because if he wants to be like his father and have the longevity 20 plus years in the NBA, he's not going to get that if he's in a point now where people want him to come out now averaging 5.6 points per game mm-hmm. in his freshman year. And mm-hmm. my thing is, you know, and then you even look at it now where people are even saying, well, you know, people watch USC games because it's Bronny James, or
right.
why he has, you know, grossing nearly $7 million in NIL money mm-hmm. is because of his father. Man. So I definitely agree with Austin. I mean, and I think it's funny because how he came up, obviously, you know, at this point, if we're comparing to how Austin was as a freshman in college compared to Bronny, he could definitely speak to him more of it because of he was more prolific. I mean, he was the number one player mm-hmm. in the country coming mm-hmm. into Duke, and he came into Duke, and from that. So it's just one of those where I agree with him. I mean, I think the only person in this world that don't agree with him is Steven Jackson, who said he was a scrub. But it's the funny thing about it is you're proving his point. You're proving his point by calling him a scrub, because why would you call him a scrub?
I think they're still trying to. I think that was part of the plan. I don't think he's coming out this year because if everybody remember, he was unhealthy over the summertime. So even now, I think they want to prove that he can still play. I don't even think he's pushing himself as hard as people are telling him that he probably can. Matter of fact, Gil said it. He said, "Man, I'm telling him, hey man, go out and do you." You know, he seemed like he kind of holding back some. I guess to get the confidence and comfortableness to play, because sometimes when I watch, I was like, man, I know he could do more. So I don't want him to come out now because I want him to get a couple years so he can get his nerves right, you know, that he can get back to being comfortable and having like the true confidence of playing basketball, because he is nasty. He can play. You know what I mean? But you can look at him and see it ain't like it was before. Like it's something, you know what I mean? When I look at him, I kind of be like, man, he don't seem like he's all the way there, or mentally he don't think that he's all the way there.
Yeah, I mean, you got to think to yourself, you know, with him having that cardiac arrest, and you think to yourself, it's probably a mental thing where it's like, I really want to get my heart rate back up again like it was in July? And, you know, this could potentially happen. So, you know, just trying to get that all together. And like you said, but I think he's, like I said, I just hope when it's all said and done with, like you said, and this is the wild card Moss point where, you know, to avoid the nepotism narrative, carve your own mark in the NBA. Because, you know, and that's the thing, like with Austin, because Austin was still in the league doing his thing. Now, imagine when he's with the Clippers, he was already had an established NBA career. So then that narrative came into his to that play. Because, I mean, you know, and think about how he is. You know, Doc Rivers was a good NBA. He was a solid NBA player. He was obviously great on those Hawks teams, great on those, you know, Pat Riley Knicks teams.
Right.
But he definitely ain't LeBron James. Like, he's not the leading scorer in NBA history. So he, like, it's almost like they have the inverse in a sense where it's like, you know, but yeah, it's just, to me, it's just like, it's just one of those things. Like, yeah, I think he needs to just go somewhere like Austin said, where they have a plan in place for him. They're going to invest in him. They're going to coach him right, because his goal is to have longevity in the NBA. I think if he goes somewhere where it's a shit show, he could be out of the league instantly. So I don't know.
But it's understandable. But I'm sure that they already know that. Like I said, LeBron had talked about it. But he said that's what Bronny wanted to do. But I mean, look at the Manny. Like, I remember when Eli was drafted, he was with San Diego and he didn't want to be there. So he got to go where he wanted to go. You know what I mean? He wanted to be in a bigger market. So, you know, you got to use the leverage that you have. But I'm not downplaying Austin Rivers, because he never really got a chance. To me, I thought that he was nasty. It just seemed like in the league, he never really got a chance. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's a lot of it, too. On
him. He always seemed like he had chains on him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's, you know, and even into his right, he had, like, maybe a 10-year career? Mm-hmm. He was in the league for 10-plus years. So, yeah, and that's what you want, you know, from, you know, especially, you know, if you're looking at it from a Bronny perspective, that, you know, you want to have, you know, multiple years in this league, you know. But yeah, so let's see. Yeah. So we definitely got, it was, and it's funny. It's always some interesting stuff coming up on Super Bowl week. It's always a very, you know, crazy week for a lot of news stories. But we had an interesting news story that came down the turnpike on Tuesday, where essentially it was announced that ESPN, Fox Sports, Warner Brothers, Discovery, are planning to launch a joint streaming service this fall. And what that pretty much translates is essentially you'll have the ability to watch various networks like ABC, ESPN, ESPN2, all the ESPNs, USCC, ACC. Then on the Fox Spectre, you got Fox, FS1, FS2, Big Ten Network, TNT, TBS, and True TV. And then also you'll be able to ESPN Plus. So pretty much when you and pretty much the Cliff Notes version, this joint venture will carry NFL games, including next year's Super Bowl, NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, playoffs, NASCAR, FIFA, and also the NCAA tournament, which obviously if you know TNT, TBS, and True TV is under that umbrella, obviously, and then how that's going to pan out. Now, at this point, they have not announced the price. I would assume there will be some sticker shock, but as currently as we hear on February 8th, 2024, without a price tag, what's your thoughts on this potentially joint streaming service coming out in the fall?
Comfort. Like, you know, I think that's what we pay for. You know what I mean? So all of them being together, I think, like I said, I think it was 2011 where I had DirecTV and they were saying how we needed to write our congressman and all this other stuff because cable was charging too much. They was like, these channels was charging too much and they don't want our bill to go up, you know? So it's going to be expensive. I got the weirdest feeling it's going to be expensive, but it's, you know, we pay for comfort. You know what I mean? You pay for comfortability, you know? So if you're going to pay for it, like people, especially for sports fans and, you know, like it'd be different if we could just get a package where we just want certain things. You know what I mean? That would be great. You know what I mean? Hell, I'll pay for the ad one. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? That the ads could be able to come off cheaper. But I'm not negative. Like, I have a Fire Stick. I haven't had cable in years, so I'm not knocking it. You know, I just downloaded my brother's conference application, and it was free. And if I'm only watching New Mexico, but I could watch everybody else in that conference and watch their games. You know what I mean? I could watch their live games, and it was free. It's great. Yeah. I'm not going to lie to you.
It's great.
Again, it was free. I'll say it again. You know what I mean?
It's going to be interesting. I think this is something that I've always kind of wanted. In the prehistoric days, like as far as when we thought we didn't need cable, but now it's almost to a point where we might need to get cable back. But I find all this very, very interesting because it's funny, and I read the article and it said, and the Super Bowl too. Now obviously next year's Super Bowl is gonna be on Fox. So and we've gone down this beaten path where, and I'm not saying this is going to happen in 2025, but like the whole thing with the Peacock, the Amazon Prime, Paramount, which I think they say Paramount might be sold to somebody, which that's probably going to be another tangled web of confusion of mess. Like you said, that's how I preface it. It sounds like a fantastic idea, but as the months and days progress, as days and the months progress, I think we'll get a sticker shock. And I think, like you said, I know people have been saying maybe $20 to $40-something, like high end, low end, like right around that range. Mm-hmm. We all know how that stuff happens. It might be a nice, sweet, because they're going to get you with probably an introductory rate. And then it's going to go up because now when you sit down and think about it, these, you know, the licensing to carry these game of broadcasting rights and all that, it's going to sky high. So every time there's a increase as far as when it comes to when it's time to negotiate with these sport, you know, with these leagues, who's going to get the effect of those other rise of prices? It's going to be the consumer. Because, you know, so it's kind of one of those things where I like it in theory, but I think it's going to get to a point where it's going to be super expensive, mm-hmm. and it's going to be like almost like a YouTube TV like thing where, you know, you looked at that, it's like, oh, you know, that's even better. But now, like you said, the comfort of it. So that's how they're going to hike that price and kind of get you, kind of make you sell it on it because, well, you know, if you, because I think like Sling TV is two different packages. So you would have to get like two packages to get Fox and ESPN together. Like, I think I forgot it was like an orange and a yellow. I don't know if they still do that, but I remember I was looking into that. Yellow and orange. So I think, not yellow, I mean orange. Orange and blue. And I think orange was the one that had Fox and blue had ESPN. So if you, one was like $25, the other one was $25. So if you put it together, it was like $50-something. Something like that. It was kind of like a way to bundle it. But yeah, oh, it's going to be so expensive. And like you said, I mean, there's an app for that. But, you know, we keep the legalities.
Your best bet is hopefully, you know, whatever internet service you got, that they give you some type of discount a month or have some free stuff. You know what I mean? That's your best. That's hopefully that's what happens.
Like you said, that or potentially like your internet service provider, somebody who gives mm-hmm. you, or like your phone company, like T-Mobile gives you like Netflix or whatever. Yeah. Like because Verizon, I think Verizon do NFL stuff, I think. And I know like with Metro, I get Amazon. And I've been grandfathered in, so.
Right. So it's like, it's like they're not trying to make it cheaper. They're just trying to make it be more comfortable. It's like they're like, okay, look, this is going to be expensive, but look what you get for this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And what they're going to do with that, like you said, and that's going to essentially eliminate cable in a sense where it's going to be like your option. Like you said, well, where can you get this at this price? You know, you get all of these channels. You get, you know, all these live games, live sports. You're not going to get that anywhere else. I mean, you can get it somewhere else, but, you know, as far as, I'm having all these together. I mean, you can get it like through Hulu, like I said, Sling. I think YouTube TV, but then you look at the exorbitant amount of those how much those apps cost compared to where, you know, I can just give you what you want because now this is like a tailored experience. Like for me, it'd be perfect for somebody like me because I don't, in theory, I don't watch TV. I either watch the news or I watch sports. That's the only thing I do.
Exactly so, what they said.
Yeah, so and that's why and I've even said this even back, you know, in the prehistoric days, like as far as when, you know, we had cable, because you think, you said, oh man, we got like 800 channels. Why can't we just have a situation where we have like a bundle where, okay, you know, because I mean, why would I get cable? I don't watch Lifetime. I don't watch Hallmark. I don't watch HGTV.
Right.
So it's like, be careful what you ask for. But yeah, and like you said, and that's what and it makes sense for all these to come together. But I think you said like the price tag. Oof.
Like okay, like me, I watch TV, I watch shows, I watch movies. But you know, one thing I got Prime, I got the Fire Stick. You know what I mean? I got Netflix. You know, I somewhat got Hulu. The only cable channel I got is Stars because of 50 Cent shows, but. When all said and done, you know what they don't do? They really don't promote their stuff like they should. So I have to be like in the 80s going to the movie store. I gotta really see an actor or maybe and see what movies they got coming out, or just it's really hard because you don't really like for instance, what I'm saying is you watch sports, y'all is gonna be a lot easier than somebody like me that like to watch movies and series because they actually promote sports. They don't really promote stuff like they don't really promote and that's their really downfall. Like, you know, like when I was talking to somebody, I was watching Monique on Club Shay Shay, and one thing I got from her was she made things better by promoting. Like, she didn't know that she was doing that though, by going on all these different things to promote. So like promotion is very highly important. If they do what they say they're going to do, right, how would you feel if they ask you what's your favorite teams? Because the one thing about cable, because like I said, I got the Fire Stick. I can watch a lot of games where my dad, who has cable, I said, man, did you see the Lakers game last night? Or did you see this? And he'd be like, nah, because he's watching cable. So, like, you know, of course you got TNT and ESPN, and then you got the NBA Network. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And he's like, nah, I didn't even know they had a game last night. So that'd be cool if they ask you what's your favorite team and you have access to your favorite team.
Yeah. And which that's what, like, the League Pass. See, that's another thing, too, where that's what League Pass come into play. And then also with Sunday Ticket, where they're separate entities. And that's where it's like, and like, and like we talked about with the apps, and we just like how what we thought was gonna was a convenience for us is literally gonna backfire in our face. It's literally like the size the volcano exploding everywhere.
Pause. That's what you see.
But yeah, I think in theory that's where it ultimately boils down to, because I think that's where you're gonna need all of that. Like, because if you do the Sunday, like you do the Sunday Ticket, well, NBA is a little bit different, because I think unless you're blacked out in the market, like say for instance, I forgot what's the blackout rules. I think if you sell out. You don't sell out. I think if you don't sell out, you don't get to see the game. It's blacked out in your area. I forgot what the blackout typically what it truly means. But like the NFL, like you can watch the games, but like I don't know if the Super Bowl is on. Like when we talked about the playoff game against Kansas City and Miami, where the people who have Sunday Ticket. They weren't able to see that. They had to watch it on Peacock.
Right.
And I think that's where we're going to start having app-exclusive games. And I think that's where we're going to really mess up ultimately.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, we're paying for comfort. I was just telling my daughter that. It's, you know, you're looking at the value of that, and you're looking for comfort. And like, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes you'll pay extra to park closer. You know what I mean? Like you just, it's just you paying. That's really what you're paying for. Like you just, if it's gonna give you the best sports, the best opportunity to watch sports, and this, and you ain't got to be turning, and you ain't got to be watching, and you're trying to watch something, and it's loading or scroll. You know what I'm saying? But they know this too. You guys are loyal. Like I'm a sports fan too, but I'm not like you and some of the other podcast brothers. Brothers and sisters, but you guys, you know, most likely pay for anything. You know what I'm saying? They say sports fans are going to pay. Like you said, a lady got what a $9 Pepsi.
Yeah, what her husband did.
You know how much gas is?
Right, and like you, and this is like. Perfect example now, you know, as we get ready to transition and talk about the Super Bowl, where you look at the price of a ticket, I think was like it went up to the higher up seats. It was like almost $12,000 and everything, you know, and that's just, you know, that's just the price of it. And then you look at just like going to games and going, you know, how, you know, that experience is still within reach for us normal folk. But like going to like the Super Bowl, that's out of pretty much a 9-to-5 blue collar person, you know, without any reach. I mean, you think to yourself, you know, $12,000 tickets, and like even they had a suite that's worth like $2 million. And I mean, it's wild. But
and that's what I'm saying. Like, it's like, where is money coming from? Everybody able to do that? That's what I'm trying to say.
Your guess is good as mine. Cause I need some of that. I definitely need some of that matriculating through my bank account so I can live that type of life. but yeah, so I guess we'll get into our Super Bowl preview. It is that time. It is a very, very interesting Super Bowl 58, as we have the San Francisco 49ers versus the Kansas City Chiefs. So we will get going with our preview. So first, before we get started, we definitely got to talk about some storylines to watch in Super Bowl 58. Mal, what's your stories to watch in Super Bowl 58?
I really didn't do storyline, but I'll say this. Is Brock Purdy as good as is Brock Purdy going to show that he can handle the pressure, that he can handle the lights, that he can handle everything of being in the Super Bowl? Is he going to show that he is a true elite quarterback? Because it seems like that's this question that everybody's saying, that he needs you know, he has the help to win the Super Bowl. For the Chiefs, are they going to keep being magical? I'm gonna leave it like that. Like, you know what I mean? I feel like they've had some magic over these years, and are they still going to have the magic to win another Super Bowl? And that's just me freestyling. I apologize.
It's all good. I'm gonna narrow it down.
Let's go.
So obviously, first off, this the Tre'Davious Ward Bowl. Obviously, Tre'Davious Ward played with the Kansas City Chiefs when they won in 2020.
Uh-huh.
Now he plays with the San Francisco 49ers.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the Kansas City Chiefs on their end chasing history. Can they be the first repeat champion since the 04 and 05 New England Patriots to do that? Will Kadarius Toney play? I mean, obviously, there's been some speculation. But, nope. You know, as far as is he a healthy scratch or not, that as well. Then, you know, let's see. Who will be the unsung hero in this for both teams?
Mm-hmm.
Then you got son like father, where you'll have two guys, you know, obviously – Christian McCaffrey and Kyle Shanahan, could they do the same thing that their father did, where Ed McCaffrey won a Super Bowl with the San Francisco 49ers with his offensive coordinator Mike Shanahan, and then end up going to Denver and winning two championships with then head coach Mike Shanahan? So could that be something there? Will Mr. Irrelevant be relevant in this matchup, where you look at it, you know, and he's only the third Mr. Irrelevant to play at a Super Bowl. He's the first to ever start. The only two has been a kicker and a linebacker, but amazing. Right. Obviously, we think Mr. Super Bowl 54, obviously, you know, repeat, not a repeat, but similar, where, you know, they played each other 4 years ago. The battle of coaches. I mean, obviously, you're looking at, you know, Andy Reid going for his third Super Bowl title versus Kyle Shanahan, who's going for his first. I mean, you know, could potentially win his first one. And then can Kyle Shanahan overcome his past, where you think about, and it's sad to say, in his tenure, he's blew the two biggest leads in Super Bowl history. Obviously, one as an offensive coordinator when they were up 28-3 versus the New England Patriots. Yeah, New England Patriots in the Super Bowl. At that time, he was the Falcons offensive coordinator. And then, obviously, in Super Bowl 54, where the 49ers had a 10-point lead going into the fourth quarter of that game and ended up ultimately losing by 10 with Kansas City run off 21 straight points. So, tons of storylines in this game, and it's going to be a good one. It's just that's just the beginning.
You got some more?
So, I think that is, yeah, that's it. Yeah, I trimmed it as much as I could. Yeah, so they pretty much cover all the bases. Yeah, it's so many storylines in this game, which it's going to make the game even better. So, we got to talk about some players and coaches that we are particularly rooting for. Who you got?
Man, I don't have that many, right? Because I really, you know, either team, I really don't want the 49ers to win. I definitely don't want the Chiefs to win. But
yeah,
I'm not a hater. What did I put down? I forgot that Farrell played for the 49ers.
Yep.
So I will be entirely too in trouble if I don't say I'm rooting for him. Yep. I'm not rooting for the 49ers, homie. I ain't even gonna lie to you. And you know, I like Kelce, man. Like, I feel like Kelce, you're already I think this year, even with the Taylor Swift thing, I think that they're pushing him to be more like a superstar. Like, he already got the Super Bowls and everything. He's like the new Gronk. You know what I'm saying? If that, I had to compare him to somebody, but he's just a little more swaggy with it, I guess you could say. You know what I mean? So yeah. I like Kelce. Me and, you know, my dad used to talk about him years ago, and he was like, "Man, he messed." I think he's from somewhere. My dad was telling me, but yeah, I'm riding with Kelce.
Yeah, he from was it Cleveland Heights?
Yeah, right. My dad told me. Yeah. That. So he was telling me that. So yeah, I'm definitely riding with him.
Yeah. If you have listened to Couch Coach Live in the 9 years and what 7 months that we've been on.
Oh God!
You already know. You know the number one person I'm rooting for is Kyle Shanahan.
You know it, Shanahan.
Kyle Shanahan for sure. Like, I think, like, I'm definitely rooting for that brother. I'll always root for him in the game of life. Trent Williams. Trent Williams, obviously, you know, obviously former Redskin. Chase Young, I'm rooting for him. Let's see, Brock Purdy. I'm definitely rooting for him. There's a few other guys that I really want. Hargraves, obviously, he was a part of that Eagles team last year and fell short. So hopefully he'll get an opportunity to win here. For the Chiefs, I'm definitely rooting for Legarius Sneed. I think I really like him. I think he's a sleeper. Like, he's somebody who I think a lot of people, I don't think a lot of people sleep on him, but I think I would say the casual sleep on him. But I mean, the dude's been balling. He's been locking up receiving. I think a lot of I put it this way. I think he slept on. I think he's underappreciated. I think that might be the best word to kind of with Sneed. Obviously, you know, I'm for the Chief wise, who else I'm rooting for? Chris Jones, because I think this is going to be his last soiree. And Chiefs, because they can't afford them. I mean, but and then, you know, because obviously they don't have my former commanders, you know, in the past. Like, you know, we had like Breshad Breeland, you know, at the time, Kendall Fuller. So those guys are no longer on that team. So those are the kind of guys that I'm rooting for. Definitely. And obviously with San Francisco, obviously, you know, like just considering the fact that their assistant general manager is now our general manager with the commander. So, trust me. I mean, I'm rooting for Adam Peters, even though he's on our side now, but he helped kind of build this current 49ers team. So, yeah.
Is Chase Young playing?
Yeah. I mean, I know there's been rumors that he might be benched, but, I mean, I put it this way. I haven't got those rumors aren't from like official sources. You know what I mean? Like, they're not Ian Rappaport or Adam Schefter, Josina Anderson, you know, those folks that they got boots on the ground, the boots on the ground folks. I've heard that from somewhere else, but I don't know how reliable the source is at this point. You know how it is with the Twitter and all that.
He played for y'all. Do you think they might? Because he don't seem like the type of person that you would just bench. Because he seemed like he's always been a top guy. Do you think they just saying that because for discipline or to motivate him or bring something out of him?
I think they're saying because he's not playing up to par. Like, as far as there is some plays where it looks like he, you know, I wouldn't say he takes a play off or so, but you can tell, like, in some of his assignments, she's like, yeah, he blew that. And he, you know, he had that problem in Washington, in the sense where I think a lot of people, like, he, you know, sometimes he would just go out, like, somewhat off the beaten path and kind of freelance and kind of do what he needed to do. But I mean, I don't necessarily think he'll be benched. I mean, it's a possibility, but no one really has stated, you know, as far as official. I mean, there's been rumblings, but nobody as far as in a confirmed NFL source that's literally on the ground is saying it. So, I mean, it's possible, but I just, until they say something, I really don't believe it, you know. It's just like how, you know, when it comes to NBA stuff, like if it ain't Shams or Woj,
mm-hmm.
I don't believe it. You know, like people say, oh, you was here. Oh, you need to take a picture. So we believe you there. That's how I feel with them. It's like, unless they say something, I shut my mouth.
Okay.
But it's a potential. But, yeah.
But, you know, I just was asking. I was going to say him, too. You know, him being from... I just remember how you Commanders were so hyped up about him, and for him to actually be come from, you know, I mean, being a top guy for your team, and then damn, paying for the 49ers and about to be in the Super Bowl, like, you know what I mean? But then I was hearing all that. I'm like, well, damn, what is he doing? Yeah, he like he was a baller. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, hey, I root for Chase as well. I don't know if I mentioned him.
I
as
remember
well,
that but... divisional championship y'all got.
But yeah, I mean Chase. I mean it's a great story. I mean who'd have thunk? You know who'd have thunk on Halloween? You know, trick or treat. He was the treat. He went to San Francisco and could potentially win a Super Bowl. So I mean, hey, man. All power to him, all love to him. He's a great guy. So you know, he's cool. He's good people, man.
It's so loyal, bro. Like,
no, you know, Chase. No, but Chase. But I met Chase.
Yeah, no, but I'm just saying in general, man. I don't care anybody that played for you. That's why I said I don't care. I'm a Steeler. All the fans in the world, the Washington football team, Washington Commanders, y'all are the best fans because y'all not obnoxious. Yeah. Y'all don't go over the top. Y'all prideful. And you know what? You can actually sit there and eat food and watch the game, and y'all be Washington down from head to toe. Ain't one in a while, but y'all ain't even tripping. Y'all still loyal. Y'all, if it ain't looking bad, y'all know y'all going through some things. Y'all still talk y'all trash. But shoot. But you know, like I understand that the boys have been in the playoffs, but they've been in the same boat.
Yeah, but don't be in the Commanders groups and stuff, man. They are frustrate the hell out of you. No, like I don't go on Facebook stuff during games, none of that type of stuff. I don't go on social media during games because everybody be ready to get rid of somebody. God, you throw an interception, it ain't even the quarterback fault. It's a tip ball.
Right.
Balls.
Right.
And it's just like y'all know that it wasn't his fault, right? Or like all the offensive lines suck. Like no,
I like
he that held play. The ball for 3 seconds. Like that's why he got sacked on that particular play. Right.
I like y'all quarterback. Yeah, I like y'all last. I liked it Heinicke, and I like y'all quarterback y'all got now.
Yeah,
and I don't like how they disrespecting him. I don't like how they disrespecting him. And I'm telling you, get the right people around him to bring him. He gonna be all right.
Yeah, I think they gonna. They probably get the quarterback. They'll get a quarterback, unfortunately, because just with this new regime. But I love Sam Howell. I've defended him to the end, and you know, and they saying about him. And I'm just like,
I know we got another one.
It's just like,
but how do you think Cleveland feel about getting rid of Baker Mayfield?
I mean, they'd be all right.
They paying Deshaun a lot of money, and they really in the same. They was in the same boat. That they they've been in.
But it speaks to how good that team is. Once you get the quarterback and he plays, like, I mean, you know, I would be still, you know, happy. I mean, he still made it to the playoffs. You know, and we're hoping, and I might be outside chance. I know we got NFL hours, NFL honors in about an hour or so. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Kevin Stefanski could be the coach of the year, but the job he's did, I mean, it's really commendable because a lot of people who are down, say, fifth string quarterback, they had a fly Joe Flacco out in November. He on a commercial flight heading to Cleveland.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
In the playoffs. So, I mean, they have to figure it out. Yeah, I know. I mean, yeah, the money-wise, but I mean, yeah. But I still, I mean, they still had a great season despite, you know, so the expectations definitely be high for them next year.
Right.
If you have a healthy Deshaun Watson, hell, you might have to keep Flacco, you know, or whatever, you know. And then that's the crazy thing about all that. Yeah, most teams will fold. I mean, you look at – it's funny that we talked about it. You see, like, where we could have been talking about the San Francisco 49ers last year if, you know, if Josh Johnson wasn't starting in his football game last year against the Eagles, and then he gets a concussion, and essentially they just, you know, it's just Christian McCaffrey in the second half, and that's it. So,
right.
I mean, yeah, it's a very unfortunate situation, but they got it through. But definitely huge shout-out to the Browns, man. Hopefully Stefanski can win tonight.
Right, right.
Coach of the year, potentially, but it's probably D'Amico Ryans. But so, in order for the San Francisco 49ers to win their sixth Super Bowl, and this will tie the New England Patriots for the most Super Bowls in franchise history, and you know, far as the most Super Bowl wins by a franchise, they're tied to New England Patriots. So, what's your keys to a San Francisco 49ers win?
Just stay balanced between McCaffrey and Debo. That's all I really can say. I think if me personally, I think if I was saying if you could keep Debo contained, they should be the 49ers. If you keep just balance between Debo and Samuels, so they gotta just keep them balanced and keep moving forward.
Yeah, I think with them, like you said, it's gonna definitely be a running attack.
Yeah,
obviously with C Mac and also Debo as well. Because you know, Christian McCaffrey, they're 12-1 when he rushes over 75 yards. And we know, like in the past with Kyle Shanahan, he has neglected the run. Obviously, you look at, like, talking about the last two stints, him as OC at Atlanta, and then also when he was a coach at San Francisco. And in those games, they had 12 or less rushing attempts each game combined. So, you know, you know now it's a different story. You got a guy like a CMC that can definitely get it going. Brock Purdy, I think if he can be able to, break this blitz, because you know Spags, I think they blitz it literally like 37% of the time. So they literally throw the kick stick at him all the time. And the crazy thing about with Brock Purdy is he's actually pretty good against the blitz. I mean, he had 15 touchdowns and 2 interceptions when he's been facing blitz this season. So it's really going to be interesting what Spags, you know, sees back now, the defense coordinator for the Chiefs, are going to kind of do for Brock, where it's like, you know, it's kind of one of those where I want to see, it's going to be like such a, the ultimate chess match, like who's going to be the one that's going to, you know, break serve. And it's going to be definitely interesting. I think if 49ers win as well, if they win that joint, is it, damn, I'm telling you, if this Nick Bosa, and if he beats that his one-on-one matchup with Juwan Taylor, which I think he will, because Juwan Taylor has been the most penalized old lineman this year. So I definitely think you're going to have situations where you're going to have some holding penalties for the Chiefs. And I think Bosa can kind of run free. I mean, you look good. This might be a little bit hyperbole, but he did a phenomenal job against Penei Sewell two weeks ago. And, you know, and to think, you know, he's definitely going to have his way with Juwan Taylor. So I think if he win that matchup, and then also, you know, he'll be able to get to Mahomes potentially. And then I think they win a turnover battle. I mean, Kansas City has turned over the football 23 times this year. And San Francisco is a really opportunistic defense where they've had 28 takeaways. So it's kind of one of those where I think if they can kind of get to a point where they turn the football over, I definitely think this could be a game that the San Francisco 49ers can win. So it's interesting. So I definitely think it's going to be their game plan is, and the thing is, and it's the key too, I think, is also too, is like in this game plan, because I know Kansas City gonna come with a ferocious punch with that Spags defense, is Kyle Shanahan gonna be able to take that left hook, spit that blood out, pause, and get back in the game with some design plays that kind of throw Spags defense off. So right. That's going to be my thing, and hopefully Kyle doesn't get flustered. And I know he's had experience, but he ain't experienced as Big Red in them.
So I agree with everything you're saying. One more thing that I wrote down, and I think it's very important. One more thing that I have wrote down, I think is very important, and it goes with what you're saying, is they have got to be focused and mature to not deal with the Kansas City Chiefs' tactics. The Kansas City, you know, they've been there. So you got to deal with all those tactics. You just got to say, yeah, okay, but I'm here though. You know what I mean? And don't be flustered, and one step at a time. You should be able to do it. When I saw what Kansas City did with the Ravens, because the Ravens was better than them. And when I saw what they did, I said, oh, they were chomping them. They went in there chomping them. And I'm talking, when I say tactics, that is what Kansas City Chiefs do. No offense, that's what they do. They're gonna hold you. They're either gonna call it or they're not gonna call it. If they call it, we'll deal with it. You know what I mean? Because they're not gonna call it every time. You know what I mean? So, and you know why they do that? Because they've been there and they understand this is the Super Bowl, and you have to do everything you need to do to win. If you see Patrick Mahomes walking around like he got an ingrown toenail or something, don't you feed into that. Because he's going to run. You know what I'm saying? He's going to prove one time or another, like, I may be hurt, but I'm still going to run. But anyway.
Yeah. And also, and it speaks to the point, like you said, too, where, and shout out to our guy, Wild Card Mar, when he was on to do the preview for the 49ers. Now, well, not for the 49ers, but for the Chiefs, Lloyd. And he was saying, you know, as far as, you know, can they beat the bully? You know, can they beat the bully where you think to yourself where, you know, 49ers when they lost to the Ravens, where the Ravens just came in on Christmas Day and just took them for their lunch money and their Christmas presents. Right. They bullied it. Can you out-bully the bully? And then now fast forward where, you know, the Ravens got bullied by the Chiefs. And you look at it from that standpoint there where can they bully the bully? Can they out-bully the bully? And I think this team is way more disciplined, because even in that Baltimore game, I know a lot of people look at that game as, but they had a legitimate shot to win this football game. It came down to essentially the two plays, the Zay Flowers, the fumble at the 1 yard line, and then Lamar Jackson throwing a triple coverage to Isaiah Likely. Those two plays. Well, one of the plays would have, you know, the Zay Flowers would have at least tied the football game. The other one would have put a little mustard for the Ravens, and they would potentially could be here, but not here, but, you know, in Super Bowl 58. But, it's
– right.
Yeah, and that's where I look at this. This is going to be a really interesting matchup. So, we talked about the 49ers end. We definitely got to talk about this defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. If they can win their fourth title, their third title in the last 5 years, in the last 5 years, what are the keys for them to achieve that goal? What you got?
It's hard for me to say that, because to me they're so unique, and I could be like, man, they need to run the ball more. Oh man, they need to do this. When I watched that Ravens game, I couldn't pinpoint on exactly what they were doing. I was shocked Kelce was open so much as he was. I was shocked some of the stuff that they were so easy that they were able to do. So for me, I'm saying, man, stay who you are. I put stay who you are, and it showed that there's levels to being a champion. Like, you can look at all these teams, and I'm sure everybody was walking in like Kansas City is the Super Bowl champions. But you look at them like they looked horrible kind of like during the season, like something was missing. You know what I mean? The controversy, all these different things. And then you look at them and you said it yourself. I don't know what it is, but they always figure out a way to win. And I had to look at it and say, man, we've seen this before with the Patriots. And that's really, to me, who they seem like to be. They always find a way to win. So I said, you just, they seem like they know a way to level up higher than the competition. So that's what I wrote down. Just remember who you are. You've been there before. You got to show that you really are the stamp in the league and you are the champions, and realize that you got to be a champion, you got to be able to go to the next level and be able to go through that door. Everybody can't do it. So to me, you got Pat, like you said, you got Patrick Mahomes there. He's going to figure out a way to keep those, get those boys motivated. He's going to figure out a way to win the ball game.
Yeah, and I think the with Kansas City, like you said, and like I've always said, you can kind of throw game plan stuff out the way in a sense for Kansas City, but there are some, I think to me, some keys for them to potentially win the game. I think obviously this one, the first one is going to be elementary. You score over 21 points, because and so they've been, they 10-0 this season when they score more than 21 points. So that's the first key. I think Isaiah Pacheco, I think he is also a guy that's getting run. You know, we talk about Mr. Irrelevant Brock Purdy, but we also talk about this seventh round pick where you look at these two guys. It's funny to think two seventh round picks in the 2022 draft will be an integral part of a super of a Super Bowl in their second year, in their second year of the NFL season. These two guys are going to be an integral part of the success of either of their teams. As you know, I think Isaiah Pacheco, you know, run the ball effectively, they'll give them an opportunity. I think the key is going to be the pressure to Brock Purdy. I think the ones that I think will really petition to get home is Chris Jones and George Kolaftis. They're two double-digit sack guys this year. So they could have a potential where I think if Brock Purdy doesn't beat that blitz and they get pressure on Brock Purdy, I think it could be, you know, a tough day for him potentially. I definitely think if you do that, and I definitely think, you know, like we talked about those two guys, I think they could definitely do it. There's some individual matchups that I like, you know, as far as for Kansas City, if they get, if they could potentially beat these assignments, I think they'd be fine. You look at like Justin Reed versus George Kittle. I think that's going to be key. I think Justin Reed is, I think for him, I think he is, key. I think he's going to be one of those guys where he could definitely have a tremendous impact. Trent McDuffie versus Debo potentially, and you look at Kansas City. The beauty about their defense is that pass defense. So if they can kind of win some of those matchups, I think they have a legitimate shot to win this football game. And then also limited turnovers, and that's where you look at it now, where, you know, 23 turnovers, you look at that, yeah, that's a lot, but they have buttoned that, that issue has been resolved in this playoff run. It's, you know, like Patrick Mahomes and playing great football. I don't even remember last time he's thrown an interception. So it's like someone knows where, you know, they button it up. I mean, he was phenomenal. I mean, he was 30 for 39 last, you know, not last week, but in the AFC Championship game. And that's where it's crazy to think, like with Patrick Mahomes, even though, because we've always said this about Patrick Mahomes, where his first year being an MVP, there's going to be some down years. And a lot of people are going to take that into effect. Where I think he's going to, like I always said, he's going to have the overachievement syndrome. And even with the way he's had this year, I mean, this year hasn't been the best. 27 touchdowns, 14 interceptions. But that's another thing that has been buttoned up, that you don't – Pat Mahomes isn't turning football anymore. You see the drops have significantly – they have dwindled, if all but have dwindled. So – and then I look at that this team where they can – and the beauty thing with Kansas City, they can have an unsung hero. Like, I can – You can say the same thing for San Francisco, but you can have a guy on Kansas City that can make a play that can change the course of this game. I know, you know, if we're going back to last year, you look at guys like Sky Moore made a huge play scoring. Yeah, Juju. Kadarius Toney made a play. So you look at just those type of situations where Kansas City, they have the unsung hero. Like Valdez-Scantlin made that play to pretty much ice the game in the AFC Championship game, where people, because I don't know about anybody else, but when Pat threw it to him and then he caught it pretty much on his back, it's kind of one of those where it's like, holy cow. Like, because now if this would have been a Sunday game, Sunday 4 o'clock in the afternoon against the Denver Broncos, he would have dropped it. But that's where, when we talk about these things with the Kansas City Chiefs, it's like it's almost it's like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Right.
They are this team. Don't think this is that team that lost to the Raiders on Christmas Day, or had a blunder against the Denver Broncos, or you know, or went to bed against Cincinnati Bengals. No, it's. No, you throw all the misconception, whether what you perceived, what you did to the Kansas City Chiefs in the regular season, and you can throw it out the window. Like I talked about the 23 turnovers. Had they even turned the football over in this playoff run? I don't know. I'm not 100% sure, but that's the Chiefs for you.
But you know what's crazy?
Yeah.
What if, this is just allegedly, this is not, I don't know, but what if to motivate them, Andy Reid say, hey, this is really going to be my last, you know what I mean? You feel me? And then they go out there and ball out because they know that's his last. And then he say, you know, I'm retiring. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm saying that because like you said, it'll make you as a player say, man, like, okay, I got to catch every ball. Like you would think they would do that anyway. But I think sometimes they don't take it as serious as you think they should. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think it is more so. I think it just goes through the motions of the season. I think sometimes when it comes to like just everything, you know, when you are in these games, especially early in the year, you kind of want the stuff to be polished. You want it, but all it does is just set you up for situations like now, where it's like. Like you look at like Kansas City, where you know this is a, in my personal opinion, is an unorthodox year for the Chiefs, where they're coming in 11-6. Like we said, they usually host the AFC Championship game. They usually have a bye week, or you know, or top seed. They was third in the AFC this year, so and then having to go to Buffalo and Baltimore in consecutive weeks. It's just this team is. I think they should show everybody that it's okay to struggle at certain points of the season. You don't want to be like, you know, want to be rolling. But San Francisco's the same way. Remember, they started off 5-0. Then, you know, Debo gets hurt. Trent Williams get hurt. They had a 3-game losing streak. Then they kind of came back to reality because we was even talking about could they potentially go undefeated in the regular season? You know, it was – because at that time they were just rolling, and then they kind of had a little bump in the road. Then they, you know, obviously, you know, after that, then they, you know, obviously lost it on Christmas Day. They was rolling up until Christmas Day, and then end up, you know, because they was 5-3. Then they, after Debo and Trent came back, they went on a roll. That's when they beat like Philly. They said it was just like being world beaters. Then they end up losing on Christmas Day. Bottom down to earth. Obviously, they came to Washington and smoked us. And then, you know, then week 18, they lost to the Rams. But that's nobody was really in that game. So, Kansas City, it was just it's different, man.
Yeah, different. Like once you said that, and then you know what else was a trip.
Yeah,
like you just gave something, and you said Kyle tends to run away from the run, and we all know if the Ravens would have ran the ball, which that is what the Ravens do.
Yep.
They made a little run, but it would have been a lot easier for them. And I'm telling you now. The Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, they not going to lay down. If they see an opening, they going to go for it. They don't pit no punches, man.
But, yeah, and another thing with Christian McCaffrey, he's, you know, he potentially could be the first player since Terrell Davis to lead the NFL in rushing and win the Super Bowl. And Terrell Davis was a part of the Denver Broncos team. Right. That was coached by Mike Shanahan. So right. It's kind of one of those where we have so many type of parallels right. in this matchup where you just look at it from that angle. And it's just, it's like, I think if, you know, when you look at it, this matchup, this ain't going to be a 31-20 affair like we had in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
This game is really, I don't think it's going to be as high scoring as many people envision, because you think to yourself, oh, you know, you got the high octane offense on both ends, but you also have essentially they're like the top three defenses. They're the top two teams,
mm-hmm.
Defensively wise, like as far as points per game and what have you. I think Kansas City is second, and San Francisco is third. I think they only giving up Kansas City is giving up 17.3 or 17.2.
Mm-hmm.
And I think San Francisco is like 17.5. And this, I mean, when we talk about defense wins championships, this could be it. Like you said, I think it will be a defensive, and like you said, and that, not that I said, but as far as I think this will be a matchup where I think, in my personal opinion, somebody on defense is going to make a play.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just almost just like what Snead did in the AFC Championship game, where essentially, if it wasn't for Snead, Kansas City wouldn't have been here. That's who really has essentially carried this team. Even though you got Patrick Mahomes, like we talked about his, you know, he had an unorthodox year. Because normally, right. you know, you think to yourself, yeah, the quarterback that was 24, 27 and 14 touchdown and interceptions, you're like, I mean, that's decent, but it ain't, you know. So,
word.
Hey, I'm telling you, it's gonna be definitely a fun game. So we got the $1 million question. We got to give our score prediction and our MVP of Super Bowl 58. Who you got?
You said scores, right?
Yeah, score and your MVP.
Okay. I got the cheat. I got the 32-27. MVP Kelsey.
Okay. All right. So I have the score 49ers 21, Kansas City 17. And Christian McCaffrey,
mm-hmm.
C-Mac, because I think C-Mac's going to be the MVP. I think Brock Purdy's going to have a game. I don't know if it was either Mar or Box. I'm not sure, because Box did our preview for the 49ers. I don't think Brock's going to get two touchdowns. I think C-Mac probably gonna score two of them tubs potentially.
Mm-hmm.
So because a part of me I don't think they're gonna trust their field goal kicker Jake Moody for San Francisco. So it's kind of one of those where I could definitely see them winning 21-17, and Christian McCaffrey is the Super Bowl MVP. But yeah.
I got the Chiefs 32 and 49ers 27. Like I said, for me, I was sitting here thinking, and I said, it seemed like to me they really, 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 and I'm trying to push Kelsey up, and it seemed like he really, really was balling out of control last game. Better than I've seen him in a long time. You know, like, so I was like, okay. Usually you would say Patrick Mahomes, but I feel like, you know, Tyreek is not there. So,
that's going to be very interesting how it's all going to play out. Like, so we have our script in hand.
Right, so, right.
Yeah. So, final thoughts before we head on out tonight.
Oh, man. Great show. Ready for the Super Bowl, man. Can't complain. Usher.
Yeah. So yeah.
Hey,
so
hey,
yeah.
I got one. Clean sweep. Clean sweep. You can't tell me nothing. You can't tell me it ain't my turn. Ooh, boy.
But, go ahead, my man. Yeah, man. So we got the San Francisco 49ers and Kansas City Chiefs playing at the Usher concert. So, you know.
Usher, please bring up Killer Mike. That would set everything
up. That's going to be crazy. But, yeah. Yeah, man. Once again, another great show. As we round out the live episode here on Couch Coach Live this week. Mm-hmm. Definitely head over to our social media, Facebook, Twitter, it's our X, and also the YouTube page where you can check out our other Super Bowl content this week. Definitely huge shout out to our guy, Wildcard Mar. Did the Kansas City Chiefs preview. I got Steven Box from the Play Callers. He came on to discuss San Francisco 49ers. Our guy, Ed Nixon, he was a member of the 2011 BCU Final Four squad. Came on the show last night, and he talked about his prediction and also talked about BCU basketball. So definitely check that out. We got another episode tomorrow night. I got Coach Mears. He is actually a PA announcer. Actually, he's a part of the Lexi in that radio alumni. He, when we exit stage left, he literally was right behind us. So definitely had a great opportunity to talk to him. That'll air tomorrow night at 8. Then we have our guy, Jake the Snake. He'll be joining us on Saturday. We'll be discussing Super Bowl overs and unders. So if you want to put a little money on it, you know, you might want to stick around and catch that game, catch that one on Saturday. And then we'll be back Monday to recap Super Bowl 58 and, you know, what's going to – just our thoughts of the game itself. So it's definitely – to close out our Super Week, we'll have a show on Monday. And, you know, then it's going to be Cancun on 3. Well, we'll talk about that more on Monday's episode where, you know, we're going to, you know – Take a little bit of sabbatical after Monday, but we'll talk about that, on Monday as far as the specific date we will return. But final social media, what you got going on and everything and all that.
Oh man, Deshaun Morgan, Facebook, DT Morgan 78, Instagram. You know, just chilling. Chilling, sit back, nothing big. Watching y'all make y'all moves.
Yeah, man. And you know, just keeping it going. And yep, so that's what we got going on. So we have 3 more episodes on here on Super Week. So definitely tune in for those tomorrow, Saturday night, and then Monday night. So this has been a special Thursday night special here on Couch Coach Live as we preview Super Bowl 58 and talk about the latest news in the world of sports this week. And we'll catch you guys tomorrow night with our guy Sean Mears. He'll be on tomorrow and then catch us Saturday night and then also Monday night as we cap our Super Week as we discuss Super Bowl 58 and whatever's going on in the world of sports at that time. So we are out, and we'll catch you guys on tomorrow night. And we're out.
You're welcome.